With WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting. The city of Rhinelander is accepting applications to remove dead and dying trees while helping residents plant new ones. The work is part of a $182,000 grant from the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources and the USDA Forest Service. WXPR's Katie Thorson reports.
Rhinelander residents could get a hazard tree removed and one planted in its place at no charge to them through a grant-funded project by the city of Rhinelander. Plus, for every tree planted on private property, one would be planted on public property. Rhinelander City Forester Tom Giroux says they'll be concentrating on planting trees that support pollinators.
Things like basswood, flowering trees, and even oak, which aren't pollinated by pollinators, but pollinators live on oak, and it's a host plant for like hundreds of moth species, and so it's a really important pollinator species.
As part of getting a tree, the property owner will need to water it the first 2 years and are responsible for maintaining it. There are a limited number of trees they'll be able to remove. Trees that are considered most hazardous will be prioritized. When it comes to planting the trees on public property, Giroux says one of the priority areas will be where there's been major street projects that required removing trees, like on Oneida Avenue and on the Messer Street project.
Trees, when these street projects happen, and which is every 50, 75 years, they need to come down. There's no getting around it. Many, particularly the tree, mature trees, many of the roots extend underneath the street. And so when they dig down to replace the sewer and water, you're going to kill them anyway. So the best practice is just to cut them down at the beginning and then come back and replant.
Giroux says there's a lot of planning when it comes to replanting after these street projects, saying that trees are considered infrastructure, no different than roads or concrete.
Pavement will last longer if the street is shaded. It just protects it from rain and sun and the harsh elements, and the street will last longer.
Giroux's contact information is available at WXPR.org for those interested in getting a tree replaced. Giroux will also be at the Earth Day Fair at Nicolet College Lakeside Center on Tuesday to answer questions. For WXPR News, I'm Katie Thorson.
The school district of Rhinelander says materials and factory technicians to repair the Hodag Dome are expected to arrive in Rhinelander Monday evening. A power loss caused the dome to deflate and suffer some damage during a spring ice storm after a backup generator failed to operate. On Tuesday, the Horizon crew will be on site with all necessary materials in hand. Horizon's president says the goal is to have the dome fully inflated by the first week in May and fully operational before graduation at the end of May. Plan B is to use the football stadium or gym if the dome is not yet finished. The district is still working to figure out why the generator didn't operate and prevent any future failures. The school district of Rhinelander called the Hodag Dome a vital asset to students, staff, and the community. A Tomahawk area woman pleads not guilty to charges including first-degree reckless homicide and the stabbing death of her husband in the Lincoln County town of Bradley. 50-year-old Richard "Ricky" Sanderson died in January at a hospital in Tomahawk. He had been taken there after a report of a man who had been injured in his chest and had shortness of breath. 44-year-old Michelle Sanderson appeared in Lincoln County Circuit Court Wednesday. A judge rejected a motion to dismiss charges. Sanderson then waived a preliminary hearing on the reckless homicide charge, as well as counts of obstructing an officer and disorderly conduct. All the charges carry domestic abuse enhancers. After the judge found enough evidence for the case to move forward, Sanderson entered not guilty pleas to all charges. The judge set a scheduling conference for the case for May 22nd. Sanderson is being held on $250,000 cash bond. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers will fast-track permits for building a protective tunnel around an aging Enbridge oil pipeline that runs on the bottom of a channel connecting two Great Lakes. The decision is stoking environmentalist fears that the project will escape scrutiny. The move comes after President Donald Trump issued an executive order in January declaring that the U.S. has become too dependent on foreign energy sources. The order mandates that federal agencies identify energy projects for expedited emergency permitting. The Corps designated the tunnel project under the Straits of Mackinac as an emergency under the order on Tuesday. Corps officials say they don't have an expedited timeline yet. They had initially planned to make a permitting decision early next year. Data from Michigan shows as Medicaid and the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, face cuts, the most vulnerable have a lot to lose. Crystal Blair reports.
In the Great Lakes State, more than 2 million people count on Medicaid, and more than 1 million of them are kids. When it comes to putting food on the table, more than 1 million Michiganders rely on SNAP benefits, which include 1 in 4 children. Amber Belazier with the Michigan League for Public Policy, or MLPP, emphasizes how the ripple effects of these proposed cuts could create widespread challenges, even for those not directly enrolled in Medicaid or SNAP.
If a rural hospital closes because they're operating on razor-thin margins and have lost a significant amount of their funding because of Medicaid cuts, that hospital closes not just for Medicaid enrollees, but for all folks in that community.
Supporters of the cuts contend that these programs place a heavy burden on the federal budget, discourage work and self-reliance, and are susceptible to fraud and abuse. Crystal Blair reporting.
Shoppers can expect to pay more for chocolate Easter eggs and bunnies this year. As Harvest Public Media's Anna Pope reports, cocoa prices have skyrocketed over the past few years.
Most cocoa is produced in West Africa, and climate change has brought excessive heat to the area, limiting the crop's production. David Ortega, a Michigan State University food economist and professor, says this has contributed to higher input costs for chocolate producers and higher prices for consumers.
We haven't seen this level of price increase in the sort of the global price of cocoa going back to even the early 1990s. We're sort of in uncharted territory here.
Ortega says people still tend to buy chocolate during tough economic times because it's an affordable luxury, but recent tariffs could make chocolate products even more expensive. I'm Anna Pope, Harvest Public Media.
For WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting.